Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Central Christian Church. We appreciate you coming to see us via Facebook. It's been a wonderful experience. As you know, next Sunday, we do reopen. Several notes I want to make about that. One is, yes, we're reopened. We will have masks, we will have hand sanitizer, and we'll have disinfectant for the pews. We will also have greeters who will direct you in coming in to be seated, deacons who will also be here to help so that you'll know where to sit. We'll be doing every other pew, a lot of details, but we are prepared. The other part of that is I want to reassure you that if you choose not to come, that's fine. I know a lot of people are still very cautious, and I understand that. And if you're uncomfortable coming back that soon, then I certainly understand, and I want you to be safe. That is our priority, that you be safe and that you take care of yourself. Also, a note, this is Memorial Day weekend. A really great weekend for us to remember those who have given their lives for their country and who every day put their lives out there. I would also suggest that we be praying for and thinking about all of our frontline people, whether it be doctors, nurses, EMTs, whoever. There are people out there who are putting their health and their life on the line every day, and we certainly want to lift them up on this weekend and pray for them as well. Again, as I said, next Sunday is a big Sunday of reopening, but please be sure you're comfortable with that, and we will have everything you need, including masks, when you come. Last note, today we feed Randy Sams. So if you would like to come and help us prepare that meal, we certainly would like to have you. I'm not really sure if when I talked to Jim Spears, he was talking about buying pizza. If that happens, then there's no worries. You might want to check with him, because if he's going to order pizza, right now Randy Sam says they've only got a little over 30 people there. So just a note, you might want to check with Jim, but again, if it's pizza, then we're not going to meet up here. There will be no point in that. But Jim will be your contact person. In terms of other announcements, also next Sunday, it is Pentecost Sunday. And as you've heard me say the last couple of Sundays in the announcement, we would like for you to wear red, whether you're coming to the church or not, to wear red to symbolize the Holy Spirit and what has been given to us to be with us, support us, and guide us in our lives. And with that, I again welcome you, and I hope you enjoy the service. And now for our call to worship. Within the whole family of God on earth, we gather as God's church in the name of Jesus Christ for worship, for fellowship, and for service, for mission, witness, and mutual discipline, and for our nurture and renewal as disciples of Christ. Transcending all barriers within the human family, we receive the gift of ministry and reconciliation. All dominion in the church belongs to Jesus Christ, its Lord and head, upon whom the whole body depends.
Cherubim
And now for our invocation and Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. God of love, take hold of us in this act of worship, and do not let us go until we have been blessed by a vision of love. Infinitely generous, gentle, and forgiving, simple, wholesome, mysterious, profound, in which all are accepted and no one rejected, love that never ends. Living God, love itself, live in our hearts, now and forever. And now, O Lord, hear us as we pray that prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now for our pastoral prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we dream of a world free of poverty and oppression, and we yearn for a world free of vengeance and violence. We pray for your peace. When our hearts ache for the victims of war and oppression, help us to remember you healed people simply by touching them. And give us faith in our ability to comfort and heal bodies and minds and spirits that have been broken by violence. When the injustice of this world seems too much for us to handle, help us to remember you fed 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And give us hope what we have to offer will turn out to be enough. When fear of the power and opinions of others tempts us not to speak up for the least among us, help us to remember you dared to turn over the tables of money changers and give us the courage to risk following you without counting the cost. When we feel ourselves filled with anger at those who are violent and oppressive, help us to remember you prayed for those who killed you and give us compassion for our enemies too. When we tell ourselves we have given all we can to bring peace to this world, help us to remember your sacrifice and give us the miracle of losing a little more of ourselves in serving you and our neighbors. Walk with us, Lord, as we answer your call to be peacemakers. Increase our compassion, our generosity, and our hospitality for the least of your children. Give us the courage, the patience, the serenity, the self-honesty, and the gentleness of spirit that are needed in a world filled with turmoil. For we ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Take our bread, we ask you, take our hearts, we love you, take our lives. Oh Father, we are yours, we are yours. Yours as we stand at the table you set, yours as we eat the bread our hearts can't forget. We are the sign of your life with us yet. We are yours. We are yours. Take our bread. We ask you, take our hearts. We love you, take our lives. Oh, Father, we are yours. We are yours. Your holy people standing washed in your blood, Spirit-filled yet hungry, we await your food. We are poor, but we've brought ourselves the best that we could. We are yours. We are yours. Take our bread, we ask you, take our hearts. We love you, take our lives. Oh, Father, we are yours. We are yours.
It is time to share in communion. This is a time to come around the table to commune with our Lord and Savior. To say thank you for the many blessings, and especially this weekend, to thank those who have given their lives for our country. You may notice as you go around the community, there are flags flying everywhere. What a special weekend. But I ask that as you come around this table, you not only remember those who have given their lives, but you also remember that you, as a follower of Jesus, are to give your life and his service. So at this time, as you commune with him, let him know your heart, your mind, and what you wish to share at this time that will help you get through another week, another month, another year. For on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." Likewise, he took the cup, and after blessing it, he said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin." Praise be to God.
Light of the world, you stepped out.
Our scripture reading comes from the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. Next, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, for his part, brought of the firstlings of his flock their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain said to his brother Abel, Let us go out to the field. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is your brother Abel? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. May the Lord add the blessing for his reading. I love this scripture because I really do believe, and you've heard me say this about other pieces of scripture, but I really do believe this has been misinterpreted for a lot of years, and I'm going to tell you why. You know, we have all heard the term master, and when we hear master, usually in the Gospels, we hear it in terms of the master of the vineyard, Jesus as master. A master being someone who owns land, who has people working for him. And of course, we understand this to be a sign of respect for those who are over others, where people work. Yet here in this scripture, we read where God tells Cain he must master his emotions, feelings, so he will not give in to sin, that is, to do the wrong thing. Interestingly to me, the words were not used when we hear the story of Adam and Eve. There, God simply tells Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. For in the day you eat of it, you shall die. Now, at what point do we hear God say to Adam and Eve, you must master your feelings, your emotions. You must master temptation and not give in to it. That word is not used until we get to the story of Cain and Abel. Interesting, is it not, that Adam and Eve never received such a message? But this scripture is so important because here we have the Lord God saying not only to Cain, but to all of us, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Isn't that what we hear Jesus saying throughout the Gospels? You must master the temptation. That is some of the best advice, if not the absolute best advice, in all of Scripture. As I said, it's a teaching of Jesus. It's a teaching of Paul that we need to master our desires. I cannot count the times in counseling sessions that I've had people come in and their wish, their desire, is to be able to master their anger. That is what we're reading about with Cain. People come in and they say, I get so angry, I don't understand all of my anger, please help me, I have anger issues. I mean, after all, if they recognize they have the problem, then there's a chance of helping them. But we do have those who don't even realize they have anger issues. And if you should ever have someone come in that has explosive anger disorder, watch out. Those are some of the greatest sessions ever. It'll scare you to see someone who has explosive anger. There's no way to know exactly what went on between the brothers Cain and Abel. You know, in a counseling session, I can get to the root of it and I can work. But we don't know. We only know what Scripture tells us. What their childhood was like, how good of parents Adam and Eve were. I mean, think about it. They're the first parents. They had no parenting skills that we know of. We don't read where God gave them parenting skills. So we don't know what life was like for these brothers. But what we do know is that Cain went before God and Abel went before God, and Cain felt like he had been rejected. That's something to think about, isn't it? Remember the words, "So Cain was very angry and his countenance fell." Have you seen someone's countenance fall? Have you ever seen that happen? You know, when you get on to a child and they're all happy and suddenly they just, their countenance falls. I'll tell you, the child actors typically are very good at letting their countenance fall. One of them I think of all the time is an Old Yeller, when Tommy Kirk realizes that he has to shoot Old Yeller. You see him looking at his mom, and his mom says, "We have to," and his countenance falls. It's a very sad moment. It is when you see a child and their countenance falls. Clearly, we are to understand Cain's feelings were hurt. Of course they were. He simply did not understand why his offering was not as good as Abel's. And perhaps there is even more to the story in that Cain may have never felt he was good enough. Full of self-doubt. And when God did not regard his gift, he felt that his feeling was confirmed, that he wasn't good enough. Many throughout history have had doubts about themselves and their purposes in life. And many of us that are full of self-doubt find ourselves believing that people don't like us. Well, in this case, Cain got a little confused. Understandably, but he got confused because it was not Cain who was rejected, but his gift. Well, these historical people I was talking about, Alexander the Great conquered Persia but broke down and wept because his troops were too exhausted to push on to India. Hugo Grotius, the father of modern international law, this should interest our attorneys and judges in the congregation, the father of modern international law said at the last, "I have accomplished nothing worthwhile in my life." John Quincy Adams, 6th president of the United States, wrote in his diary, "My life has been spent in vain and idle aspirations and in ceaseless rejected prayers that something would be the result of my existence beneficial to my species." This is a man who became president of the United States. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote words that continue to delight and enrich our lives, and yet, what did he write for his epitaph? "Here lies one who meant well, who tried a little, and failed much." And last but not least, there was Cecil Rhodes, who opened up Africa and established an empire, but his dying words were, "So little done, so much to do." Many of us feel defeated. We don't reach our goals in life. And maybe it was Cain's goal to please God and make, you know, "I'm the oldest." I mean, Cain was the oldest brother. "Here, you're going to love this." And God said no. Many of us are full of self-doubt. We wonder if we have or ever will make a contribution to society, or if others view us as even necessary in their lives or in the world. In this case, self-doubt, self-incrimination are the sins of our lives because God made us worthy. And all too often, we want to pretend or we believe that God didn't make us wonderful, But he did. That said, for those of us who feel or think this way, the words of God come crashing in. Listen to this. Sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. When we feel self-doubt, when we feel we're not doing anything, when we feel we haven't accomplished anything, we've got to master that and be able to say, God created me. That in itself makes me good. That in and of itself should give me courage, not self-doubt. Then comes the infamous killing and the infamous words of Cain. Listen to this. Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out to the field." And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" What's your answer to that? When I read this, I always think of the words of our Lord when he said, now listen to these words of Jesus, "You have heard it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift." Am I my brother's keeper? Jesus says, yes, you are. Go be reconciled. Don't be angry. Master that impulse to be angry. These words from Jesus are words Cain should have heard before he offered his gift. Now, before you say it, it is true, Cain became angry, and his countenance fell after he heard his gift was not as good as Abel's. But had Cain grown up hearing these words, had he understood God did not reject him, but his gift, perhaps we would have a different outcome. Is it not possible Cain would have sought to be reconciled with Abel had he been raised with the words of our Lord? We'll never know. Rejection is tough, but how we interpret rejection can make all the difference. You heard me right. How we interpret rejection. Remember, once again, it wasn't Cain that was rejected. It was his gift. A young salesman became discouraged because he had been rejected by so many customers that he had approached. He asked a more experienced salesman for some advice. "Why is it every time I make a call on someone, I get rejected?" "I just don't understand that," answered the older salesman. "I've been hit on the head, called dirty names, and thrown out the door, but I've never been rejected." In other words, rejection isn't what happens to us, but how we interpret what happens to us. What happened in Cain's case was a rejection of his offering. Cain was still loved by God and should have mastered his anger with Abel. Jesus makes it clear we are our brothers and sisters' keepers. We play a role in loving them, forgiving them, caring for them, and helping them. We play a role in that, not just for our blood kin, but for everyone. If we are to leave our gift at the altar, then be reconciled to them before we offer our gift, then we are their keepers as they are ours. Do you have situations in your life you need to master? Anger with someone or a group you need to master? Are you willing to be reconciled, or do you wish to let sin's desire for you went out. Think about that. Sin's desire is for you to be an angry person. Sin's desire is for you to not be forgiving. Sin is that which turns us away from God. What do we do? Well, again, let's listen to these words. And the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground, and now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." What have you done? As a child and an adult, how often have you heard these words? When you were a child, did you hear your parents say, "What have you done?" The interesting part of this scripture is, if we take it literally, we envision Abel's blood calling out to God from the very ground he was killed on. But if we understand this as any wrongs, think about this, any wrongs we commit rising up to God, then things get a little scary, don't they? I would think in that case we might find ourselves asking God, "Just exactly what have you heard about me?" The English writer Hannah Moore once said, "Forgiveness is the economy of the heart. Forgiveness saves expense of anger, the cost of hatred, the waste of spirits." The Protestant theologian Reinhold Niebuhr once wrote, "Forgiveness is the final form of love." The theologian, Christian author, and ethicist Louis Benedictus Smeads once wrote, "You will know forgiveness has begun when you recall those who hurt you and feel the power to wish them well." And the art critic, sage writer, and social critic John Ruskin once wrote, "You will find it less easy to uproot faults than to choke them by gaining virtues. Do not think of your faults, still less of others' faults. And every person who comes near you, look for what is good and strong. Honor that. Rejoice in it. And as you can, try to imitate it, and your faults will drop off like dead leaves when their time comes." When Cain heard the words of the Lord God, "What have you done?" he was filled with fear. Aren't we all? As the story progresses, we find Cain feared being killed when God tells him he will be a fugitive and a wanderer. But God is not about to let that happen. You see, we hear a negative connotation when someone says the mark of Cain, but folks, it's anything but negative. We could all hope to get the mark of Cain, because that mark was actually loving. That's right. That mark was a loving thing. When Cain says he will be killed, what follows is quite interesting. Listen to these words. "Then the Lord said to him, 'Not so. Whoever kills Cain will suffer a sevenfold vengeance.' And the Lord put a mark on Cain so no one who came up on him would kill him." You hear the message in this? Do you hear what God is really saying? He says, "Cain, you sinned. You didn't master your anger. You killed your brother, but you're still mine. You're my creation. I love you, and I'm not going to let anyone kill you." That's what he did. So what does that mean? It means, "I do not condone what you have done, Cain, but you are mine, and I shall protect you because I love you. What is not written, but I believe is implied when Cain goes to the land of Nod, is God saying, 'Cain, I will not allow you to be killed, but you must master your anger. That's why I'm sending you out. Not because I don't love you, but you need to learn. You need to learn to master your anger. Maybe getting away will do that for you.'" And apparently, Cain did master his anger, because we hear no more incidents of Cain's anger. Can you think of any? Cain didn't rise up against anyone after that. And he had a mark on him, but that mark was to keep people from killing him. It wasn't put on him so everybody would say, "Oh, look at you. You have a mark on you from God." How would they even know that? It is a mark that says, "I love you, and everyone needs to know I love you. Do not touch this man right here." Self-doubt, rejection, forgiveness. All three of those things are in this story. Clearly, Cain had self-doubt. Clearly, he felt rejected. And clearly, God forgave him. He didn't kill him. Remember Adam and Eve when he says, "If you eat of the tree, you'll die"? Well, they didn't, because that was God's creation. He loved them in spite of their sin. He loved Cain in spite of his sin. And he loves us in spite of our sin. But he wants us to master whatever it is that we give in to, whatever it is we're tempted to do, master that so that you don't give in to that temptation. I say to all, if you wish to have a happy and fruitful life, it is imperative that you master your anger. I pray for this myself every day, because I know sin is lurking at the door. Its desire for us is great, and that's all the more reason why we must master it. If we're angry over COVID-19, we're angry because we're shelter in place, we're angry because we can't go to our favorite restaurants anymore, we must master that. Because, folks, this is to help us. This is to keep us safe. Just as God kept Cain safe. It's a loving act. We must master that which tries to take us over. So remember, if you have self-doubt, remember whose you are. If you feel rejected, remember whose you are. And if you have anyone in your life, whether it be spouse, child, relative, or just somebody out in the world, have forgiveness, compassion, and love. That's what Jesus called for, and that's what God did for Cain. I love you. Nobody's going to hurt you. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you today, we come as a people who are often full of self-doubt. We come as a people who so many times in our lives have felt rejected. And we also find, Lord, that all too often we're not willing to forgive. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Son's words and teachings, that we let go of our anger, that we learn to forgive, and that we remember we are your children and you love us. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
Find a voice, oh praise God, oh praise God.
Thank you again for joining us. I would like to remind you once again that we are reopening next Sunday on Pentecost Sunday. And I would like for you to be thinking about this during the week, whether or not you're feeling comfortable about coming back. And I certainly understand we will continue to video the service. There will be a big difference, though. Since we're going to video during the service next Sunday, the service won't be posted until later. So please don't look for our video at 10:40 on Sunday morning. That'll be during our worship time. But look for it sometime after that, and you should have something pop up that tells you that a video has been posted on the church Facebook page. But thank you so much for joining us and being with us every Sunday, and I hope you have a blessed Memorial Day weekend. Let us receive the benediction. And now may God the Father, the Son, the God of forgiveness, the God of love, be with you now and forevermore. Amen.
We are walking in the light of God. 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 We are walking, we are walking, we are walking in the light of God. We are walking, we are walking, we are walking in the light.